So can you think of some things that when you put them together, when you mesh them together, they just make something super incredible? Like, just amazing? Like, if you take a piece of pie and put ice cream on it, I mean, didn't see that analogy coming, eh? Let me share another analogy with you. Have you ever eaten or tasted a cocoa bean? I mean, I haven't, but apparently they're extremely bitter and not too enjoyable to eat at all. Yet someone had the idea, if you fermented the bean and then you dried it and then you crushed it, you crush it into a powder, the end result of that brown powder is known as cocoa powder, right? And cocoa powder is pretty bitter too. I remember trying to taste some during the years, thinking, oh, it's chocolate, yeah. No, it's pretty bitter. So, but that's not the end. Because someone else had an idea, and they thought, if you put sugar and cocoa powder together, you could get something that's really good, like chocolate. I mean, can you imagine? You take this bitter cocoa powder or cocoa bean and mix it with sugar in the end, and you get something, oh, so good. So good. No, I'm going to eat it during my sermon. No. It's really important to know the things you can mesh together, because the things you can mesh together can be really good, but the opposite is also true. A number of years ago, Kathy and I were visiting in Kamloops, and we went for lunch with some friends. And Kathy, who doesn't eat garlic, doesn't like garlic and is sort of allergic to garlic, decided to play it safe, and she ordered a grilled cheese sandwich. Well, she got her sandwich, and she took one bite and went, it doesn't taste very good. She took a second bite, and she thought, I wonder. So she went and talked to the cook, and sure enough, the cook used garlic butter on the grilled cheese sandwich. Who does that? Who does that, really? And, you know, for Kathy, those two things didn't go together. She couldn't even eat the sandwich. He said, well, do you want me to make you another one? Well, I can't eat this one. You know, so it's important to know what goes together, what meshes together. Likewise, knowing what we put together or not put together in our lives is important. Knowing these things will determine the quality, the standard, the purpose, the excellence of our lives. And this was the whole issue in Thyatira, in the church there, in the believers, what they should put together, what they should mesh together, was a whole issue. And Thyatira is a small city in Asia Minor, which is not like the large cities we've been talking about, Ephesus and Smyrna. It's not like them. It's a city filled with industry. And because of the industry there, the city was known for its trade guilds or organized groups of potters and tanners and bronze workers and dyers, and not the people that dye, but the people that dye cloth, dyers. Sort of like we have unions today. Thyatira was particularly well known for its wool and the dyeing industry, and it was noted by Paul. And if you go to Acts and chapter 16, actually, if you went there, you would hear Paul talking about meeting a lady named Lydia, And she was a dealer in purple cloth from Thyatira. So it was well known for its garments of purple. The guilds created tremendous problems for the Christians, as it was really hard if you weren't in a guild for a person, and especially a merchant, to practice your trade or to pursue it if you had no connection to a guild. You were sort of pushed to the outside. So what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is to belong to a guild put the Christians in a difficult position because of the pressure the guild put on its members to participate in their pagan and idolatrous feasts that they had. One of the main pagan idols that the guilds was the Greek god Apollo. And Apollo was supposedly the son of Zeus. Remember, we talked about Zeus last week? We talked about him as being the sort of the supreme god of the Greeks. And Apollo was supposedly his son. In Thyatira, they wanted to mix the Christianity with idol worship. They wanted to put the two of them together. In his fourth message to the church of Revelations, Jesus writes to the believers in Thyatira, and he starts with this in Revelations chapter 2, verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze." You can just hear Jesus addressing some of the issues there right off the top. Jesus wants them to know that he's not the son of some false idol somewhere like Apollo is. But Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth, the true God. You can hear him say, "Don't even think Apollo is the Son of God. It is all false. These are the words of the Son of the Almighty, the living true God. That's who I am, who is writing you right now." And then there's the imagery of Jesus with blazing eyes and bronze feet. And this message sends a message of Jesus as one with total authority. So what's happening here is Jesus is the Son of God with all authority. The message is those reading and hearing this need to take these words to heart and listen to what the Spirit is saying. From here, Jesus goes on to write about the amount of success the church, the believers, is having. As we read in Revelations 2:19, "I know your deeds, your love and faith, your sincere, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." Jesus is talking to the Christians, to the believers. He's telling them that they have chosen well to mix their Christian walk with some good things. To mix their Christian walk with deeds, love, faith, service, perseverance. The idea here in the Greek is that each of these things are not just individual things, but they're things that are done for someone else, for others. Jesus is stating that the Christian walk, being the church of Jesus, is more than Bible reading and going to church on Sunday and singing praise and hymns that exalt our Heavenly Father. All that's important, but we need to mesh it. We need to put it together with deeds for others, love for others, service for others, and we need to continue persevering with others. Again, as I've mentioned in other messages, that's why our mission statement is Christ-centered, people-centered. We need to mesh our faith with our works, with our community, with touching other people. It's not just about gathering here on a Sunday morning. It's so much more. When we mix all this, when we put them together, we have something that is really, really incredible. Really incredible. The church must be filled with action towards others. Jesus says he knows what the believers are doing in Thyatira, and now they are doing even more than they did at first. He says, I know what you're doing. I know your deeds, your service, your perseverance. I know all that. And now you're even doing it. You did it at first, and now you're doing it even more. That needs to be our goal, church. That needs to be who we are. We need to be wanting and striving to do more. We need to continue to want to be more loving, more serving, more persevering each and every day. When we mesh these things together, we will be and continue to be what we need to be to Ashcroft, Cache Creek, the surrounding areas. What they need and what they want, that's who we'll be if we mesh them together. We will be mighty ambassadors for Jesus. It won't be just about being in church on Sunday morning. It'll be about our community, about others coming to the kingdom of God. So the believers in Thyatira were having great success, but it was with some struggles. Jesus writes, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating food sacrifice to idols." Jesus is saying that they have this woman in their midst who self-proclaims that she's a prophetess. "I'm a leader. I'm one that you need to listen to," is what he's saying. But he says her teaching doesn't line up with what the truth is. She is named Jezebel, and we're not really sure if this is her actual name or if Jesus is just referring to her as the Jezebel of the Old Testament. See, Jezebel in the Old Testament did the same thing, idol worship, and led Israel astray. And this woman is leading the Christians astray. What is happening is that this woman is trying to get people to mix, to mesh together the guild and trades their worship with their Christian faith. It's called syncretism. It's joining the Christian faith with the things of the world. We have all heard that. You know, we as the church need to be more tolerant. Have you heard that? We as a church need to be more tolerant. Get with the times. Mesh with the world. You know, and if being more tolerant means being more kind, nicer, more respectful, more reasonable, more civil, I totally agree. We need to be tolerant. We need to do all those things. Yet if being tolerant is accepting everything and every idea, then there's an issue. The truth is, there is no one who is tolerant with everything. There is a line drawn in the sand with everybody. There's a line that they will not cross, that they say, I will not tolerate that. I will not mess my life with that. The fact is, we don't want to be and should not be more tolerant than God. There are things that God does not tolerate. And that's because he loves us. There are standards, morals. There are things that if we violate them, they will hurt us and others. God doesn't tolerate hating and lying and gossip and sex outside of marriage and all these other things because he's the big ogre. That's not why he says, you know, like, I don't want you to have any fun out there. No, he loves us and knows that those actions hurt us and hurt others. Look at the collateral damage of relationships that have gone sideways. Oh, man. You just need to be in the pastorate for a month and you see. He knows that those things, so he says, I don't tolerate them. And we shouldn't as well. We shouldn't mesh them with our Christian walk. Oh, but Pastor, that sounds like a lot of rules. And I thought our faith was more about a relationship with Jesus than a bunch of rules. Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Our faith is more about a relationship with Jesus than a bunch of rules. But the truth is, and it comes down to, if our relationship is totally right with Jesus, if it's strong with Jesus, then we'll uphold his standards. We'll uphold his standards. See, when we start to tolerate these things, when we start to mix them and mesh them together with the things of our faith, we lower the standard of Jesus. That's what we do. We take him and we try to pull him down and say, Jesus, your standard's too high. So, you know, if we can just, you know, gossip a little bit, or if we can just lie a little bit, or if I can just steal from the government a little bit. What we're doing is we're pulling the standard of Jesus down. We're meshing with the world and the things of the world. They don't go together. And we need to know that there is a cost. If we are going to mix our faith, our Christian walk, with the things of the world, there is a cost. Listen to the cost for mixing which is not of God with our Christian walk. We read, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Whoa. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but it is important to know the severity of mixing our Christian walk with the wrong things. Those who lead others into these practices, those who proclaim to be leaders and self-proclaimed prophets, and they're leading you along a wrong path, leading others along a wrong path, they're going to suffer, Jesus said. And the Greek word here has the idea of having distress. It's not just some minor little suffering, some little affliction like a sliver. Did you catch those words in the last screen before this one? Suffer intensely. I don't think I want to be there. Not only will those false teachers suffer, but those who follow their teaching. Yes, and it even gets worse. For they will also be put to death for trying to mix the false teachings with their Christian faith. Now, it might not be a physical death, but there is a death. There is the second death, which we've talked about. And there is that death, that separation from Jesus. But all is not lost. Because Jesus is a God of grace and a God of mercy. We read that he even gave Jezebel, in the church of Thyatira, time to repent. He said, I gave her some time to repent, but she was unwilling. She was unwilling. She hardened her heart and refused. That offer of forgiveness is there for each and every person today. May they not be like Jezebel. May they repent. May they turn. May they not harden their hearts. Oh, but Jesus doesn't really see what I do. He doesn't really see what I mesh my Christian walk with. Did you catch the end? He says, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. Be sure he knows what we mesh our faith with. be sure he does. And those consequences, that cost is way too much to pay. Way better to not go there, and if we do, to repent. Jesus goes on to write to those who have not mixed their walk with the guild of the time, with the world. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. Jesus writing to the faithful, to those who haven't mixed their Christian walk with those things that aren't right. They've just mixed their walk with the good things. They've mixed their walk with truth and good, and they are told to hold on to what you have. Cling to it. Hold it. Grasp it. Don't let it go in no means or manner. Jesus is telling us that those things we are to mix our Christian walk with, things like doing good deeds for others, loving others unconditionally, serving others when they need our help, and not giving up on others. I think that's the biggest one for me that I struggle with, not giving up on others. He says, if you've got those in your, if you've meshed those with your walk with me, hold on to them. Don't stop. In fact, do it more. Hold on to Jesus and his truth. All those things that we want to mesh, that we need to mesh with our Christian walk, all those things, that's God's character, Jesus' character. It's all that he does. So once again, we're encouraged. And if you read on a few more verses, and I didn't put them on the screen, but if you read on, we'd be encouraged to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. You know, that's what's most important. When we come and when we read God's Word or when we hear some teaching, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? Not what's the Holy Spirit saying to my neighbor, or the person that's not even here. Oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? It's how Jesus ends each one of these messages to the churches. We are to never mix or mesh Jesus with anything that's contrary to the Bible. Never mesh it with that. Never combine Jesus with anything. It is Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus and his character in us. He is our everything that we sang today. We sang that song. He's our everything in everything we do. It's Jesus plus nothing, as he is the way, the truth, and the life. As we live true to this, we have the most incredible life to live. And we have the most incredible life to offer to those in our community, to our neighbors, to those we come in touch with all the time. They can't help but see it when we're meshing our Christian walk with all the good characters of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we don't want to mesh our Christian faith with those things that you don't tolerate. Lord, we want to tolerate everything you tolerate. Father, it's not about not tolerating people. It's about not tolerating sin. It's about not doing the things that are against your principles, your character, your word. And so, Father, we don't want to be those people. Because truthfully, we can't pay the cost. And Father, if there is someone listening to this, whether here in this building this morning or online, and that they have meshed their lives with something that is not right, Father, I pray that they would repent. They would turn their hearts back to you. For you're a God who's waiting for them, just like you waited for the prodigal son. Father, may we mesh our lives with your character, loving others, serving others, persevering with others. Help me in that, Lord. May we do that, not for our glory, not so that we're looked up to because we'll only fall off the pedestal, but so that people will see the kingdom of God and the Almighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They will see Jesus, the Son of God, the one with blazing eyes and bronze feet. Father, we want to shine for you. We want to mesh our lives with you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.